Good afternoon. You're listening to News Talk 94.1 Local Matters. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and tonight I have Zach Buckner with me. Hi, Zach.
What's up, Tiffany? How are you?
Good. So awesome. We usually have entrepreneurs, and you're just kind of a serial entrepreneur.
Yeah, I'm a weirdo.
From born and raised in Cookeville.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Forever.
Yeah.
So, have you ever left Cookeville?
Okay, so I left Cookeville for 2 years, but I still worked in Cookeville and did everything. So, we lived in Sparta when we first got married for two. That's not really leaving.
Okay. Yeah. In my world, the Upper Cumberland is all,
it's all
Cookeville to me, to us Northerners. So, tell me kind of what got you. So first of all, you have done Bros.
That's right. Yeah.
A coffee shop that you started and sold. You started as a at home business.
Right.
Created into a brick and mortar.
Right.
And then sold it.
Right. That's right.
Was that the first business that you sold?
It was. And it was the perfect scenario. Big shout out to Justin and Hannah Davis. Those guys are awesome. I've known Justin since we were both little guys. And so I knew that for Bros to be successful, to continue to be successful in the model that I was running, at least, it really needed to be somebody local that understood the Upper Cumberland, mm-hmm. which Justin and Hannah are the perfect people for that. They were both born and raised here. And then just people that could kind of continue that culture that I had tried to create. And they've done a phenomenal job. So I still go in there every day. People are like, "Do you still drink Bros?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's still the best coffee in the Upper Cumberland." You know,
and that was kind of the unique part of Bros is that you were roasting.
Yeah.
With this like little roaster thing on your back porch.
Right. Yeah. It looked like a meth lab on my back porch. It did.
And that was how you created this unique coffee experience in the Upper Cumberland.
Yeah.
So you started by just selling to places, mm-hmm. Selling out of your
just delivering
social media.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. It was all on Facebook based marketing.
Yeah.
It's free.
Right.
I was delivering door to door at first and then, you know, got a couple of commercial accounts and it kind of went from there.
So what was it like growing up in the world of Zach Buckner? To get that entrepreneurial bug that you just,
So my dad was an entrepreneur when I was growing up, but I didn't really know what that meant. That wasn't like a cool thing to talk about.
No, I didn't know how to spell the word until
I
started working.
I still probably can't spell the words. Just thank you, iPhone, for correcting it.
Right.
But my dad owned a grocery store off Highway 70 called Eastwood Market, basically my entire childhood. So I remember getting up super duper early, you know, like 4 a.m. and put my tie on and I would go with him to work, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And we'd unload the truck, and I would stand on like a milk crate and bag groceries, and I was like, "This is the coolest," you know. So I thought my dad's like one of my heroes. He's super awesome, and so I was, I guess, unintentionally followed in his footsteps. But I didn't set out to be an entrepreneur. It was a hobby. It was something I enjoyed that turned into a business.
So I know you went to school, you did some finance stuff, you did had a boring bank career there.
Yeah.
So we can kind of skip that part, but you did get into some marketing aspect of you started the District Creative.
Uh-huh. So at first it was called Beeline Designs. And I started that basically at the urging of a friend. I had a good friend at the time that said, "Zach, you do a great job with graphic design and marketing, you have a marketing mind, you should really see what happens." And so,
but you didn't have, you just had the marketing ideas. You didn't have a formal training in marketing.
No, I didn't have formal training in marketing other than, you know, the marketing training that I had at, which was part of my education at Tech. You know, finance majors do go through a bit of marketing training, but no, it was all kind of real life training. And my job when I was working at the church, I had to kind of learn graphic design. Because no one on staff was doing graphic design, and it was like, you learn it or it's not going to get done.
Yeah.
And so sort of self-taught as far as software and in learning how to incorporate, you know, Photoshop and those platforms and stuff. And so anyway, learned how to do that. And one of my friends was like, "Hey, we need some help." And it was Laura Cannon. It was at the chamber at the time. And she was like, "We need some help at the chamber. You know, can you, we always do some, you know, sort of outsource graphic design. Is that something you'd be interested in?" I'm like, "Sure, I'll give it a shot." And, you know, that's been, I guess, like 11 years ago at this point.
Before the world of Canva, who just creates stuff for you.
Well, and before social media was really even a major platform that businesses were using.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that time, it was still pretty new. At least in the Upper Cumberland, especially. But
so it's a lot of print stuff that you were doing.
A lot of print stuff, and you know, some web design elements and stuff. But yeah, it was really, really a neat opportunity, and I still work with those guys on a pretty regular basis.
So you started by being able to help. I think that's the thing that marketing is really interesting, is that you can help so many other entrepreneurs or small businesses with their graphic design or creating a logo. Or was there any businesses or any specific things in that realm that really stick out for you when you were first getting started helping people out?
Yeah, I think one of the coolest things that I got to be part of was Prescott South, was just launching at the time.
The school.
Yeah, the school. Okay. So Prescott South Elementary School and Middle School had reached out for me to do a design for STEM. And so the STEM logo that you see, I actually designed that Prescott STEM logo that you see everywhere with the protractor and all that stuff. So that was kind of like the first big collaborative thing that I did. And of course, I did that for free, so it didn't help, but it was one of those projects that kind of helped launch me, that was cool because Catherine Jones and, the staff there have been really cool to recommend me to other people through that process years ago.
In case you're just joining, you're listening to Local Matters, and we have Zach Buckner, who is a serial entrepreneur, and most people don't know that you have anything to do with logo design or graphic marketing kind of stuff. Why do you choose to keep that so under the radar?
It's a time thing, honestly. I've never advertised it hardcore. A buddy of mine, Alex Lissick, and I, when we started the District Creative, it was just kind of something that we both wanted to do on the side. And
a side hustle.
Yeah. Thing. And so I've kind of taken it, I have the amount of work that I kind of want to have at a certain time, and I take on a certain number of clients because I don't want to get so stretched thin that I can't focus on what I'm supposed to be doing. So I've always been careful to manage
that. Do you think
that
would ever be what you're supposed to, quote unquote, what you're supposed to be doing?
I don't know. I've done it for so long on the side that if I had to, it's one of those things. Gary Vaynerchuk says all the time that you have to be prepared. It's not, if the economy tanks, you better know how to make money. You need to know how to do something to make money. If your day job goes away, or if the economy tanks and no one's making money and that kind of thing, what are you going to do? Are you creative enough, or do you have another plan B, plan C, if stuff like that happens? And so I think I could definitely see myself doing it full time. I were to not have a day job.
So you just did air quotes and we're on the radio.
Yeah, air quotes on the radio. That works super well.
The day job is that you work at Life Church.
I do.
Correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that is relatively recent, right? The last maybe 3 or 4 years?
I think I'm 2 years in as far as full-time staff there. Okay. And I volunteered there before for about a year. That's a relatively new thing. And that, honestly, my job at Life Church has been the most challenging thing I have done. And a lot of people are like, what? You started a business from scratch and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, no, this is by far, it is insane. People just have no idea what all goes on in an organization
well,
that
tell
size.
Us. Tell us about, share.
So, okay.
Pull
so,
back the curtain
So we've launched, we have campuses all over the Upper Cumberland. We're at 4 campuses now, plus our online campus, we call it. And so I'm actually in charge. And the easy way to say it is if you see it or hear it, I'm in charge of it at Life Church. So marketing, anything from marketing to the end product of production, websites, any of that stuff, graphic design, all that's kind of under my watch care. But I have an amazing team. These guys are incredible. It's a bunch of millennials who are so much smarter than me that are really making it look awesome and sound awesome and everything. And we have a huge team of volunteers too. We have between the music ministry and creative department, we have about 150 volunteers that we oversee
throughout these 4 campuses.
Yeah, throughout those campuses. And so they're the ones really making it happen at the ground level. They're the ones giving their time and making it excellent. And we just kind of get to be the orchestrators of what's going on. But it's been a big challenge because Alex Lissick was originally over creative, and it's kind of like following the maestro. Alex created the department and brought it to such a high level of excellence. And so I get to be the guy who steps in after Alex and tries to not break it, basically.
So Alex is the guy that you started District Creative with as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's been cool.
Wow. So you got to kind of work in the professional world and now in the service community together.
Yeah. So he launched a campus at Cookeville South. And so when he did that, I then took over his department, and I was already over music ministry across all campuses. And so it's been a huge challenge, but I've learned so much. I wouldn't trade it for anything, because it's made me develop skills that I didn't have before. And it's really shown me a lot of weaknesses that I have. And so I've been forced to grow in areas I never would have touched before.
Which is always, you know, that backup plan of having what you're going to do is strengthening your skills is always just going to be helpful.
Yeah. Finding where you're really terrible is also really smart. Like, if we're not looking for the areas that we just suck in, that we need to grow in, we're never going to get past where we are now.
So which, really important. I mean, who sets out to go look for like the areas that they're weak in?
Yeah.
But sometimes you're just, you're lucky enough to have those experiences where you're put in a position and you're like, oh, okay, this is where, I mean, I have zero marketing background.
I can't do this on my own.
And just, okay, here's what, and you know, I've learned how to manage a team and that kind of stuff that I never thought that would be that hard.
Right. And it shows you, like, I think this is so important for people to realize, you don't have to be good at everything. You don't have to be really good at anything. As long as you're willing to be a secure leader and realize, like, hey, if you're a really good leader, you're going to hire people that are better than you.
We're going to get back more into that leadership thing in just a second. Co, look at that segue. You just,
I see what you did there. You know, the best way to destroy a segue, talk about the segue. I do that all the time.
It's all good. So, we'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Local Matters with Zach Buckner.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have Zach Buckner, serial entrepreneur, on with me today. And we just were talking about leaders and how to be a leader and a good leader. And so you also had a stint working for the Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
And was that, did you go on to do that as that creative aspect of doing marketing for them and logos and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So basically what happened was, you know, I was doing subcontract work for them, and then they created a full-time position, and the person that was there before me left. And so I came on part-time to fill that void for them. Cause I was kind of already doing it anyway. So I did that, and that was as Bros was launching. So all this stuff was happening at the same time. I had actually quit my full-time job to do Bros.
And where were you at that?
Before that, I was at Church on the Hill as the administrative director. And so I had just left and taken the plunge to be an entrepreneur, and Bros was my primary livelihood. And it was really scary.
And you have a million children.
Right, at least a million.
So.
And then so, but at that same time, the chamber approached me and said, hey, this has happened. Would you be interested in doing part-time work? I'm absolutely. It's steady income that I can at least count on that. If Bros was to tank, I've got a backup plan for my family. We're not going to go hungry, and we can pay our mortgage and that kind of thing. But yeah, so I started part-time, and then the Highlands Economic Partnership was getting ready to enter a fundraising phase, and phase four was coming up, and it was going to be a 5-year phase of fundraising. And George just asked, we've gone back and forth on what would you do if you were me, you know, because there's a few different approaches. You can hire a consultant to come in from the outside and do the entire program. You could do it in-house. And so George and I had just been talking about it just from a discussion perspective. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a thing. And said, I was like, George, I think, you know, I think the local approach works better for the Upper Cumberland. I just think that that's who we are as a community. I think it needs to be someone with a vested interest that actually cares what goes on, that they're not just raising money and then leaving. I think it's really important. And so anyway, we were chatting, and we left it at that or whatever. I get shared my opinion. And then the next week he called and he's like, hey, I've been talking with some of the leadership and we think that we have an idea. We think it needs to be a kind of a hybrid approach where we bring in a consultant on the front end to do a lot of the study and the back work. And then they turn it over to a local person. I was like, oh, George, that's a great idea. I think that's awesome. He was like, yeah, and we think you're the guy. So I was like, oh, okay, well, that's the thing. Yeah. And so we started talking, and it wound up being a really great fit. It was cool because, I mean, I love Putnam County. I love the Upper Cumberland, White, Jackson, Overton County. Those are all four very important to me as a person to see them thrive and succeed. And so it was a really easy thing for me to say yes to. Because I wanted to see us grow and continue to grow. Mm-hmm. We'd seen such great growth over the past 10 years here and, really exponential growth, but it was healthy. And so I want to be part of seeing that continue.
Well,
so,
and you seem like you really, clearly you have a heart for service and service, whether it's in the church world or the community. And, you know, that was a way for you to get paid.
Yeah, sure.
You know, but to serve the greater community, then, you know, Life Church is huge.
Yeah.
But
it's wild. Yeah.
The Chamber of Commerce really impacts this whole county.
It does. Yeah.
And so it was a way for you to put your skills to a greater good than just, you know, your little church.
Right.
Not little, but.
Right. But no, George and I always joked around and we always said it's a secular church, you know, because it's volunteer driven, you know, it's a nonprofit. It's, there's a lot of similarities to the church and the chamber and the Highlands Economic Partnership that we would make. And I think that's why I enjoyed it so much, because I do enjoy ministry and it was so similar.
So while you were there, you were able to start the Young Professionals of the Highlands.
Yeah. So the discussion started with TVA when I was there, and they actually have a branch that goes around the state, and they have a person dedicated that goes around the region, actually, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, and they start young professionals groups, help them get launched. And so we were getting a lot of advice. But when I was there, I never did get to see it launch, and it was like one of those things. Myself and some of the other staff there definitely talked about it a lot. It was something we wanted to see happen, but we never did cross the finish line with it. And I was like, darn it.
Yeah.
We need to do this. And you and I had even talked a whole lot. Me and
Jeff, who is 57.
Yeah.
And Jeff felt like this was such a
It was crucial. Like, yeah. Me and you met lots of times about what could be young professional wise, and it just never got across the finish line for this reason, one reason or the other. And finally, after I left, the crew kind of pushed it through and got it through, you know, the red tape and boards and leadership and all that good stuff. And it launched this year, early this year. I forget when it was. It was like April, maybe. I don't remember. No, it was February. It's February.
Okay. I was going to say, I think it was cold. So.
Yeah, it was February. And golly, it was crazy cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just showed the need. There were like 90 people at the very first thing, which we didn't even really advertise much for. We were like, let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And it was crazy. And so it's been a neat year. Like, that is something I'm so hyped about and passionate about right now.
Let's talk a little bit more about the need and the what we feel in a second. You're listening to Local Matters. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and we have Zach Buckner in today. So you felt like there was this need out there. What is why is this popular? Why is it important for an area like ours?
I think that's a great question. You know, why do we need a young professionals group? And so being in the chamber world, there was kind of this glaring gap between students graduating or finishing a certificate, getting involved, maybe they become an entrepreneur. There's a gap between that age group and the group that we would see pretty constantly at the chamber. You know, that group at the chamber started in the 45-ish and up range. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty distinct marker. You didn't see millennials there really. And we were like, we have to do something to engage and to be a resource for younger professionals. And so there's the big gap there. Number one, number two is we're losing young talent, whether they're from the university, whether they're locals who are trying to start a business, whatever it is, there is a backdoor out this community to go to Nashville or Knoxville or Chattanooga or Atlanta, so on and so forth. And if we don't do something to retain and give build relationships, it's all about relationships. If they don't have relationships here, they're not staying here long term. Mm-hmm. If they don't have a network of people that are supporting them, they're not going to stay here.
The other thing that I find really interesting with the young professionals is that when I was in my 20s and maybe early 30s, I mean, I have a background in education and teaching. I don't know how to network.
Yeah.
I don't know
how
to build a professional group of people.
Right.
And so that's something that's interesting. You guys have started this off the menu.
On the menu.
Lunch event.
Yeah.
And you have a speaker come in and talk about different things.
Right. Practical stuff.
Right. That you just, you don't even necessarily know that you don't know that.
Exactly. It's the stuff that you're like, I don't know what I need to learn, but dang, I'm really glad I learned that.
And I think the other thing too with the young professionals is that, so I don't necessarily think of myself as young, or maybe.
That's what everybody says. Like, I'm not a professional, or I'm not necessarily young. I'm like, yes, you are.
But you're both of those things. I think, you know, those doers, and I consider myself one of the doers of this community.
I would agree with that.
And I feel like I can provide a decent example of
absolutely.
You can do what you want to do in this community.
100%.
That's the magic of the Upper Cumberland is that if you want to get involved, I think there's some people who are like, oh, it's so hard to break in if you're not one of the people. And your mama's mama's mama knows everybody.
Yeah.
We just had that a second ago.
Yeah.
But I am not. I'm not like you folks. I'm not from here.
You ain't from around here.
Right. Yeah. But I've been able to, because I wanted to break in and do the things that I wanted to do.
You chose to.
And then I can create an example for some of these younger 20-somethings and say, hey, it's really cool to get involved. It's really cool to make an impact and be able to host a radio show and do just cool stuff in this area that you... It's magical.
That's right. And it's one of those things like you will achieve what you allow yourself to try. You know, if you don't try and like you're going to fail some, but at least try. It's really not the good old boy network or whatever you want to call it is not as prevalent as maybe you would think it is. If you go out and you work hard and try like you have, you're going to see those relationships develop, and that's what we want to have
and I
foster.
Think it's, you know, one of your pillars for the young professionals is volunteerism.
Yes.
And you guys have a hard time sometimes getting those positions filled.
Yeah.
But once, one of the events that we worked on together was Invention Convention, and it was, you know, 20-somethings at this free event for the, it was a fundraiser for the Children's Museum, but it was a science thing.
Yeah.
And, Caitlin's Sailor was like, I don't like kids. I don't want to see.
Oh, this was so funny.
I don't want to be like, can I just be at something that I don't really have to interact?
I don't want to see kids. Yeah.
And she left that day.
Oh my gosh. She was awesome.
She was sitting on the floor playing with these kids. And
she was a natural. Yeah.
She was definitely one that saw the value of an event like that.
Yep.
Saw the value of volunteering her time and being involved. And I think, but she, it's not like she just really wanted to do it, or she had a great attitude. And
I'll say this too. This was really cool. So I want to make sure that I thank Caitlin specifically and Hayden White. Caitlin Salyer and Hayden White at the Highlands Economic Partnership have been so crucial. They're the ones like that are actually doing all this behind the scenes work to make this thing happen. And that event was kind of one of the things that you saw Caitlin start to shine and get a really an even greater passion. She was already passionate about it, but that caused an even greater passion in her to make a difference. And so now, man, she is a rock star. She is relentless to make sure that YP works.
Well, and how many people are just like her that think, I don't want to volunteer at Fall Fun Fest. I don't have a family. I'm, you know, I'm in my 20s. I just want to do my own thing, but it's like, oh, you see the value of these events for the community and how impactful it is. And it's like, oh, this is a cool place that we live in.
Right. And we believe too that if we're going to create leaders, I personally think the only type of real leader that lasts is a servant leader. And so we think that servanthood and serving our community is crucial. I mean, it's great if we do professional development, that's awesome. And it's great if we do networking, but if we're not serving, it's like, what lasting difference are we really making?
Well, and I mean, eventually these people who are in their late 30s and 40s, they're not going to want to do these events forever.
Exactly.
So you got to pass the torch.
Yep, that's right.
So we're almost out of time. How can people find you, connect with you, or
they, you know what? A bunch of different ways. I'm
There's a couple Zach Buckners in town.
Another three. This is pretty funny.
I just learned a third one the other day.
Yeah, there are three. And we all kind of have a running joke with each other, too. All the Zach Buckners in town do. We're like, oh, which one? Oh, and it's like, no, that's not me. I don't. Yeah, I think one of them is a car salesman. Yes. And so I'll get calls sometimes and he'll get calls. It's funny.
Yes.
But Instagram, I'm just at ZWBuckner21, I think. And then I'm on Facebook. Add me.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in today. It was great having you.
Thanks so much, Tiffany.